Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Last call!
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I need to announce it's last call at the bar.
Oh, yes!
Last call.
Last call, the Bears Barroom post-game show.
Bears fucking barroom!
Last call.
We go live.
Let's get it on.
After every Chicago Bears game,
we're gonna go live.
We're gonna go on immediately after the game.
Call. There, I think we all have last call.
Last call.
Let's get it on.
Last call. Last call. Last call on the Bears.
Bears have won it.
Game show, win, lose, or
win.
It's the last call. Last call. Last call.
Last call.
What happened with the Bears? How don't Phil break it down like no one else ever can? On the Bears.
They go
Barroom's post game show, win, lose, or draw. It's still
win.
Last call.
NFC North.
Last call, last call.
Bears have won it.
The Bears.
I need a draft Dr. Phil Rant.
No one
ASAP.
Fulfill and make it a million like Jordan. The Barroom with an academic solutions from the Rican and Sicilian. It's games on the Bears. Analyzing what happens. Sometimes the smartest fan hands free calls happen.
Last call. Last call, Lazo and Phil. And oh, sometimes Shane.
Last call, the Chicago Bears.
Jesus. Aldo and Phil after Bears games. Ay, Dios mío.
And let's get it on.
Bears have won it.
It's last call on the Bears with your hosts, the Godfather, that silky, smooth lover of guards himself, Aldo Gandia. And the man, the myth, the rent legend, Draft Dr. Phil Otoshin. Oh, yeah, of course. And sometimes, the smartest man in the barroom, Shane Marshall.
What about cars?
Maybe cars?
You're listening to the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and this is Last Call on the Bears.
Let's get it on.
Last call.
Last call.
Last call on the Chicago Bears.
Last call, last call. Last call on the Bears. Barroom's post game show, win, lose, or draw.
It's Bears have won it.
Last call, last call. What happened with the Bears?
Last call.
How do you break it down like no one else?
Is Last Call with Draft Dr. Phil and a very special guest. And I am so glad that the Chicago Bears won. I don't care if they won ugly or not, but I didn't want our very special guest to appear on a show where Phil and I were complaining for 60 minutes and him having to listen to us whine. I'm going to immediately turn it over to my great friend, Draft Dr. Phil, who will do the introduction.
What a day. You know, Thanksgiving is about a few things, especially in my house growing up. It's about family and football. And it's always been about the Bears for me. But this guy, you know, as a head coach for 33 years, is always about his high school football team, which we went there today to watch the old rivalry, 48-year rivalry, the Carini Bowl in our town of Wallingford, Connecticut. And it was an embarrassment to watch what, you know, is left of Lyman Hall. But that being said, what is here is the football. And today I got to not only watch the game with my dad, which, you know, life is short, as you said, Aldo, a couple weeks ago in Last Call. You never know, and you just embrace your family. And with the Bears, putting the gravy on the mashed potato was the key here. Just get this on my plate, get the victory. And we got a lot to talk about, but my dad, the official coach, the head coach, Coach Phil Otoshin Sr., is on the air. This is a first, Aldo. We talk about the guy a lot, but this is the true guy who gave me my passion, not only for the Bears, but this the best game in the world, football. How you doing today, Coach?
I'm doing great. And you, like you said, it's wonderful to be with your family and your friends. I went to the game, and I must have seen 50 former players who came to the game, not so much to see the game, but to see me a lot of times. Right, you know? Right. So that was very emotional.
This guy's getting emotional already.
Yeah, I am getting emotional because I'm at the age that you're talking about. I'm heading into my 80th year, and I feel good, thank God.
And this guy was running waggle drills with Tate and Devin.
Awesome.
So he's still moving around. Everybody and their brother coming up to me. Your dad looks fucking great. He looks absolutely great. And our only concern was as bad as our old high school, his, you know, where he laid all his ground roots looked. He was just hoping the Bears would win today. That was, the food was great here. Steph Atoshin cooked up a storm, did it all herself. And we helped clean up and hustled down here to get to the show. But, Coach, I want to say this for the audience. I get emotional a lot. But he tops me off. He's a proud dad. And he is a friend to me and an inspiration. And as I get older, like I was a player's coach. And we're going to get into the Bears, but I want to say this quick. As my wife pointed this out to me, it was hard for me because your father's harder on you than everybody else. And you don't get the accolades from the fans. You get, oh, he's only playing because that's the coach's son. And on top of that, you got the hardcore coaching busting your ass. And you're busting your ass playing hurt, driving at 5'7.5", Shane, into people, playing and laying the wood. So I don't just talk the talk and yell at Leno. I walk the walk. I know what I put on tape speaks for me.
He's exaggerating.
No,
I have given him so many compliments.
No, this is what I was getting to.
Okay.
As I got,
let me tell them
about
you.
It takes him a while.
Because you're never going to brag about
it. My senior year was the most emotional moment, Aldo, I said, that my father said to me, you are a fucking goddamn great back. You're one of the best backs I've ever coached. I want you to know that. And I get emotional about because that ended up being my best year because I never heard that shit before. So it's a testament to sometimes players need to hear things, or like Aldo said, sometimes I need to tell Phil how amazing the dude is at making a song, Greg. I digress. Now go ahead.
Well, you know, people don't realize it, but this guy played everywhere. He played linebacker, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, safety, corner, wide receiver, tailback, fullback when we needed a short yardage.
Wow.
He did everything. He was a great player. He could throw the ball, and I didn't realize how well he could throw the ball. I saw him in a league after graduation playing in a flag league, and they won the championships 2 years in a row, and he was that quarterback. And I couldn't believe it, the throws he made. Had I known that, I think I would have set the other guy down.
That would have been awesome.
He was pretty good, though.
At least we got it on the record, Shane, that I'm not blowing up.
That's what I wanted to do.
Thank you.
Well,
this game, Aldo.
Let me just say real quick that everyone in the chat room, we've got almost 100 people in the chat room listening in live, and this show will, of course, be in podcast version in an hour or so. But everyone in the chat room is just thrilled that Mr. Atoshin is with us and that you two are sharing these stories about Phil's exploits as a player for you, Mr. Atoshin, and also just learning more about what you have done also in your high school coaching career. There's a stadium named after you. I mean, that's amazing, an amazing honor, and it's just a tribute to that the bloodlines in the Atoshin family run really, really thick and proud with great football knowledge and expertise.
Well, I thank you for that, but I like to lend a little favor to acknowledging Mr. Sam Rattigliano, my high school coach, and also Harry Ostro, who was my first high school coach and the winningest high school coach in the city of New York. He was a great football coach, and he's buried in Arlington Cemetery now. He lasted to 101 years old, and he was in the Normandy invasion as a paratrooper, 82nd Airborne.
Wow.
And he got a steel plate in his head and lived all those years, went graduated at NYU when NYU was a major college program. And I have to, they were technique people. They taught technique. Yeah, Harry Astor was out of, he was at way out of the year, 19, he won
undefeated.
He was ahead
of his time.
Ahead of his time. From 47 to 53, he won undefeated. And he retired in 57, and he went to John Adams High School, and he decided to get back in coaching again. And then he continued to reign over there. So he was a great football coach. And Sam, of course, only stayed there 3 years at Lafayette High School, where I graduated from. And he went on to college football, UConn. From there, he went to Maryland. From Maryland to the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos, he went to the New England Patriots, New York Jets, New Orleans Saints, and then the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
And gave us one of the greatest teams in football history, one of the greatest seasons, the Cardiac Kids. Sam Rattigliano will live forever in the memories of diehard NFL fans. Just a great coach and a pillar of the Cleveland community with his work there. Yeah. Excellent that you brought him up because he is a very special person in NFL history. Yeah.
And he embraced our airwaves as well. One of our best shows ever.
Yeah.
Most downloaded.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam coming on the air with us talking about what it is to be a head coach. And Sam right now is yelling at the screen with Nagy. We know that. My dad and I were yelling at the screen with Nagy. And it's just, it's disappointing, Aldo. Because I don't know, are we going the same pattern with our show? Are we just getting right into, are we doing a rant? What do we do?
If you've got a rant, I've got the music for you.
I'll give you a little rant. Okay. I'll rant for my dad every week. Go ahead, Aldo. Thanksgiving football. I don't write this stuff. It actually comes from the sperm that was embedded in my mom that created me from this guy. I just love the game so much. And if I see someone slacking and have gotten to the highest of levels, it's a disappointment. It's a letdown. When you watch a high school game and you see the agony of defeat before the game even starts, and you see the levels of money and power and arrogance almost collapse your franchise. You see players walking, celebrating, just typical plays. Typical plays that a Walter Payton would get up and hand the ball to the ref and run back to the huddle. We're seeing people dancing. We're seeing people yelling. We're seeing Aaron Lynch take 7 plays off and get paid $185,000 a game. $185,000, I won't even make that for 2-3 years. But that's okay, it's just BU. I'm tired of BU. I saw a quarterback that I wanted to strangle one play and I wanted to carry him off the field and hug him the very next. It's frustrating. But the definition of somebody isn't now. It's when does it end? Because the game is never over. I had the Gaines report. I had Greg Sunshine throwing rainbows and ice cream sundaes my way via text. I don't believe in Matt Nagy's culture. But I saw a young quarterback I saw a running back, number 32, say, fuck you, everybody else. Fuck you, Charles Leno. Fuck you. Anybody that doesn't want it. Follow me. Follow me. I do the tape never lies. I break it all down, unbiased. I don't have a fucking number to throw on Twitter and say it doesn't lie. I have a tape to throw on Twitter and say it doesn't lie. And it's because of this guy next to me that that sentence even is spoken. And the hundreds of thousands of people that are viewing what I've done to a man to break down the tape so everybody with a brain and a love and an arrogance and an objective view or any way they could see who Mitch, who the Bears, and who Matt Nagy is. And Aldo, I have to say this. On Thanksgiving, I'm so blessed to have a beautiful mother and father here joining me, a beautiful wife, four children, and I have to say thank you, Barflies. Thank you for all your support and all the love that you praise upon what we do here at Bears Barroom. I cannot thank you enough on this day. And you, Aldo, for believing in me and knowing that a good coach always gives second chances and understands who the player you hitch your wagon to. And for that, I'll forever be grateful and thankful. And that is my rant.
Well, I love you, Phil. I said it before we started rolling, and I said it to your dad, how much I think about you and care about you. And I thanked Mr. Atoshin for raising such a great son. Now, I've got to ask your dad if he wants to do a rant about what happened today on the Bears. I've got plenty of music here, sir. If you want to take it over and talk about the Bears and talk about this Thanksgiving Day, please take it away.
Well, there's enough great players on this team. And it seems like there's something missing that I acknowledged weeks and weeks ago. And it's the mistakes. It's the errors. It's the undisciplined, terrible penalties and terrible time.
Right.
I mean, the close of this game, you're offside to give them another chance. I mean, that guy doesn't belong on the field.
99.
99. I don't know his name. I'm telling you.
Aaron out to lunch, we call him.
That's not good. That's not good. But let me tell you something. There's enough good people on that football team to be a good. When I looked at 32, I like to coach that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does. 17, you want to coach that kind of guy. They'll do it for you. And I tell you, Trubisky today did a marvelous job. I really do. He made a couple of mistakes, but you know something? The coaches got to correct those mistakes. They're only students. They're students. I don't care what age they are. They're students. And the professionals are the guys that are coaching. And they got to correct those mistakes and discipline when they're supposed to be disciplined and sit their ass on the ground. Right over there.
Where do you think I got it from, Shane?
That's what you want, a commentary from me. That's what you got.
I love it.
Exactly what I try to preach and teach to Greg Sunshine, the Midwest. They don't get it. Everything will be all right. We'll work it out. We don't work it out here. You figure it out on the bench. Then I figure it out who's next, like a Horsted, who finally gets a fucking chance. Dad, you watch this kid. From Princeton, the ball's thrown up in the air, and he wants the ball. You're like,
exactly.
Wow,
exactly.
How is this kid? This kid was on your practice squad. New England needs that kid. They can't figure it out. They can't figure it out. That's the problem with Coach Nagy. Undisciplined, blocking assignments. Talk a little bit about, you're talking about Harry Astro and Sam Rattigliano talking about fundamentals and teaching these players, great freaking point. Something I always fail to remind the audience. These are kids. These are professionals, but you're still a teacher. You're still a teacher. And if you don't give them a kick in the ass sometimes, They're not going to give a shit. They're more worried about their Snapchat and everything else socially that we have going on. So it's up to you, Matt Nagy, to be the leader of the team, not the leader of the hood, but the leader of your franchise and your team. Talk about it. Talk about it.
Well, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, I had an offensive coordinator and I had a defensive coordinator. But bottom line is, I'm the head coach. I'm the one who gets fired, and they don't get me fired. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what leadership's all about. I see it, all the great ones. And I learned this a long, long time ago. I didn't know whether I was going to be good enough to be a high school football coach. And then I didn't think I'd be good enough to be a college coach. But let me tell you something. I was better than that. I could have gone to college. But you know something? I chose high school. And it's from people like Sam Vitigliano. And you know what he said to me a long time ago? He says, you can't believe it. There are a lot of shoemakers in this game. He was talking about coaches. And I looked at him. I said, what do you mean, coach? He said, they don't belong there. And that's the truth. Your offensive line coach, I don't know who he is. I don't know his name. But, buddy, he better get more simpler than he is now, because those kids don't know what the hell they're doing out there. They don't know who to block half the time. And they lose their blocks, and they make the team look bad. And they make them lose. No question about it.
No questions needed. If you're a fan of Bears Barroom, Aldo, the tape doesn't lie. We've talked about it many a times. And again, the shitstorm that is Charles Leno continues to fly. You got 73 out there. He's not overwhelmed. He wasn't overwhelmed. Was he perfect? The tape will tell me. But you're the veteran. Penalties, holding, false start, missed, letting up a sack. It's undeniable. It's so frustrating to watch this continue to happen, Aldo. It's hard.
I am so glad that you brought up the issue with the offensive line coach. His name is Harry Heastand. It seems to me like there is a disconnect with what Harry Heastand is teaching and perhaps what the head coach, Matt Nagy, is running. Do Coach Otoshin and Draft Dr. Phil, do you guys see that at all, that could be a possibility why players are not blocking as well as they should?
Well, listen, I disagree with that, because when you sit down, you have these meetings. The head coach, whether he is the offensive coordinator or just, you know, the administrator, he's in the room and he's listening. And you know what? I did this. You go when they say, you can't block it that way. There's no way you're going to block it that way, because you got to know football. The most important coaches in the country are the offensive line coach and the defensive line coach. And if you can coach that, you can coach the offensive backs, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers, because that's the most difficult place to coach. One exception. You have to be one heck of a coach to coach defensive backs. Those cornerbacks have got to work hard. They backpedal and they squat down so they can react. You can't have backpedals and start running. What's this running with? You don't get any coverage that way. Those guys on Detroit today were catching those balls underneath. That doesn't happen if you play even a zone. If you play the way you're supposed to play, looking into the backfield and the quarterback and watching his long arm action. If he drops the arm back and the ball's starting to come out, you got to react and you got to get closer to the ball. But you can't do that if you're 10 yards away and try to come up and make the play. You're not going to make the play.
It's so hard. The only question is, because of these two, their relationship, Nagy's hired based on being an offensive coordinator for one season, in which he really wasn't the offensive coordinator. He was Andy Reid's guy. So Andy Reid gives him the controls and announces it on a playoff game, in which they lose when they're winning and have the leading rusher in the NFL carry seven times in the game, and they lose. He's the leading rusher at the time. He comes here, they trade away Jordan Howard, and the same situational issues come to light. So now you look at they hire this guy, Harry Heastand, who has a great reputation. Great. He was at Notre Dame. He's putting out these first round talents or whatever, but that doesn't mean he's a great coach. They recruited well. They recruited talent well, and college is a much different game. You look at the offensive philosophy that Notre Dame and Chip Kelly are using versus Matt Nagy, and there are some similarities there. I went back and looked at the two. But really, it's called fundamentals being taught and demanded. He said it. You said it to begin with. He's got to dumb it down because they're doing too much. And that's where I think the disconnect is, because what you're doing, Coach Nagy is not. He's not saying, wait a second, we can't block it like that. He's like, you do your thing, I got my plays. And that is why I see every week on the Tape Never Lies, they have no fucking clue. You can't, I don't have CGI graphics, Tooch. Aldo didn't give me that budget. No. Whoever, throw a name in there. Anybody, anybody's wife, whoever. I don't have graphics to make what's going on appear. I just take what is giving freely, or we pay for this by the NFL. They get their dime, so it allows me to take it and show it to the reality. You know how many people have said, and I show my file, I go, take a look at this, Dad. This is why I do it. These comments by YouTube people that are listening to our show now and realizing we're special here because we know what the fuck we're talking about. We want to stand up and have everybody raise their voices. Everybody. This is unacceptable. This is a shoe salesman being your head coach. That doesn't mean he can't improve. Doesn't mean fire him tomorrow. What does mean is that he needs to do something to take away his play sheet and be the leader of men. Be the head coach. Just like my head coach is telling you, this isn't happening. He's all up in that fucking Greek diner menu, Aldo. Looking, he's behind. He's not watching what Coward's doing wrong. He has no clue. He's depending on everybody else. And when you do that, you're not maniacal. You're not Bill Belichick. You're not Bill Parcells. In fact, you made a great point today, Dad, watching this game. You know what this team needs? Parcells as the president. Hiring the right people to turn around the charter fucking franchise of this league.
The greatest franchise in the country. The first team to play in the game. NFL.
And you look like the freaking sisters of the Bad News Bears. And you get out there and you won because of Mitch's heart, effort by Khalil Mack. We're watching him like, holy, they're triple teaming. And what did you say? Number 94. Go ahead. What did you say about this guy?
He ought to be sitting down next to me. That guy there being offside in that critical play. Third and 10.
94, just standing there.
Oh, 94.
Remember, he's standing there. It's a third and 6. He's just standing there juking like he's a receiver.
Yeah, that's true.
My God.
But anyway, that's, you know, how about this? The first touchdown he scored, I didn't realize this. Phil said there was 10 men on the field.
Yeah, there's 10 men when Detroit throws the deep ball, Aldo.
Did you know that, Aldo?
Yes, I saw that. I actually put that up on Twitter. It was brought to my attention because I thought I put up the highlight, the isolated look of Prince Amukamara guarding and looked like he made a mistake. But he also looked like he was looking back for safety help.
Right,
and then somebody on Twitter pointed out to me, well, that's because there was only 10 guys in the field. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Crazy.
But, you know, somebody's responsible for that. You know, we have the defensive coordinator has a guy who's putting these guys in a box. When they change, when they make substitutes offensively, we make substitutes defensively. And if you put too many or too little on the field, then you're in trouble. You're responsible for that. But that cost him a touchdown. That could have been the difference in the game.
Yes, indeed.
The whole momentum of the game. Yeah. Now all of a sudden this young kid, wait a second, I feel confident here. And this kid, who by the way, Shane could attest, this kid, I pointed out in Cleveland when the Bears played him, I go, this fucking kid, Baugh, or whatever his name was, there's something to this guy. I remember him at Purdue beating Ohio State's ass. I go, there's something to him. And here he is. I mean, he looked ready to play. Those are the kind of guys. We got fucking Tyler Bray. We got Tyler Bray on our practice squad. And there's people. Remember how we talked, Aldo, on 100 proof?
Mm-hmm.
Your GM has to be maniacal too.
Yep.
Find the quarterback that's going to compete. Push Mitch. Make Mitch worry. Make Mitch work. Mitch is too worried about that beautiful piece of ass than he is about the game. Now that it's critical, he's hearing every. Sure, turn off the TVs. Turn off. We don't want to hear anything. We don't want to. Now you get someone in the building like this that shows potential, makes decisions, isn't afraid. Just play the game. And when Mitch is just playing the game, he's something to be building off of. It. That's the clay the student needs to mold. That's where you break through those little fears and inadequacies and those learning moments. Like that ball when he's running the crossing route, he throws it behind him. He throws it late. You said it right away. It's wide open. Stop. Fourth step, fifth step, boom, hit it. He's waiting. Wow, just a pinch off, and it affects the whole timing of the game.
That's correct.
Even in the back shoulder throw, you pointed it out right away to Anthony Miller in the end zone. It's got to be accurate. He's got to understand the leverage. You talk about Tom Brady. Put it into perspective here. Tom Brady to Mitch Trubisky. I know it's a huge gap there in comparison, but showcase the difference here.
Well, number one is experience, but they did a great job with him even when his first year was in there. That's when I became a New England fan. I really did. I just couldn't believe that those coaches could teach that to a young man who never started a football game and brought him all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, think about that and win it. So what they're doing at New England is tremendous. And naturally, you can give the offensive coordinator a certain amount of credit, but that Bill Belichick is one heck of a football coach. I'm going to tell you something. I heard him speak at a clinic, and I just want to tell you, it's getting off the subject for a minute.
Go ahead.
It was 1983. He ended up talking at Southern Connecticut's football clinic, and he was talking about special teams. Well, I've heard 100 coaches talk about special teams. And I knew he was coaching with the Giants and Bill Parcells. I was a Giant fan at the time. And I decided, oh, I better so listen to this guy. Well, by the time he was over with in the hour speech that he made, I had about 6 pages of notes. And that year we blocked 7 punts. I took a couple of things that he did on punt blocks and instilled them in our kids and showed them how comfortable it is to land on the ground on your stomach. Because you have to put mats out there so they're not afraid to hit like that. But you see the last block that Slater made this week where he's diving and his hand's on the shoe?
Yeah.
That's exactly what we did. Your hand on the shoe. Your hand on the shoe. Run past them, put your hand on the shoe. And I'll tell you, it's worked great. But that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. But anyway,
things.
get to Brady, back to Brady. Brady, you know, when he looks... His pre-read is everything.
Right.
He looks, he sees that's where he wants to go. Now he comes back on those 3 steps from if he's in the shotgun. And, excuse me. He hits back there and he sees it open. The ball's released. There's no indecision. But he's accurate. He's accurate. Now, I always made the point that you compare between Eli Manning and Tom Brady. Eli Manning could hit the 4 foot by 4 foot, and he doesn't hit the target. He might hit the corners.
Right.
He's just barely in that square. Brady hits the centerpiece. That's the difference. He's so accurate. And at 42 years old, his last game is one of the great games he's ever played, and they gave him a D in the Providence Journal. I couldn't believe it. I said, are you kidding me? This guy fighting for his life, and he's throwing the ball, and he's not getting sacked, so he's thrown to an empty spot. I couldn't believe it. He played a great game.
But your point was, looking at Mitch, his pre-snap is confused.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be, because the ball's got to be released faster than that. That kid that was running that particular pattern was intercepted. He had a step on that guy, so lead him and get rid of the ball now. And let that guy dive and catch the ball if he has to. That's the difference.
We kept watching throughout the game Mitch's reading process, getting up to the huddle, the communication between the play clock's going down and they're still wondering what's going on.
Yes.
This is coaching problems, mm-hmm. communication issues all around. So now you're asking, we'll go back because I'm putting it together for him. He's talking about a young quarterback bringing them to the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. You know the history now. You know how great this guy is.
Right.
If you don't believe it, I don't know what to tell you at this point. But you watch it on tape, it's unbelievable. With Mitch, the coach isn't helping him because the coach is so worried about what plays he's going to be genius with that he's not recognizing what Mitch does well is this, and let's get up to the line so he has enough time to pre-read, know exactly what the coverage is, and now he has an advantage gained to be a better quarterback and make you look better at the same time. So when your coach is neglectful on that light and in that vein, it becomes, it's all Mitch. What are you talking about, sir? It's all Mitch. And that's really what happens here. And believe me, I got frustrated with Mitch. The one play, we'll tell you right now, when he's scrambling out of the pot, he needs to fucking know where the down marker is. I don't want to hear he was thinking that maybe he'd get outside or he can run around. No. Face first in there, just like you did last week to get that touchdown. You don't give a treat to a dog and then hold out an empty hand the next time. You gave us the treat, Mitch. We know you're tough. Be tough. Know the situation, and you'll get us to where we're going. I didn't know if you did you say something? Matt Nagy's coming up? Or
no, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bypass the press conferences this week. I told people in the chat room that if they want to, because I know we only have you guys for about 60 minutes or so, so I want to make the most of your time. So we'll bypass the press conferences. We'll listen to this quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk more football.
What's up, Barflies? It's your boy, Bobby Bombs, introducing to you the new partnership for the Barfly Tailgate Show with the one and only ball girl, Jamie Dragani. Jamie is a very talented artist who creates custom sports balls and equipment for basically every sporting event that has a ball. She handcrafts these personalized masterpieces as team keepsakes to memorialize a great season, or even as an individual award to be given out by the schools, coaches, and parents to their athletes. Jamie has teamed up with Ryan Badgley and will be creating some custom footballs with players' name and charitable organization for that ever so special segment you guys know and love called Badge of Honor. This will be our way at the Barfly Tailgate Show and Bears Barroom to say thank you for what our Bears players do off the field. All you parents out there with high school athletes who are graduating, there's no better way to honor your child's high school sporting career than with a ball to commemorate their achievements. You guys can find Jamie on Twitter @the_ball_girl. Please give her a follow. Check out her website, theballgirl.com, to see the full array of all of her products and services she provides. We look forward to this partnership and can't wait for you guys to see how talented she is. Bear down.
You know you got to feel it. You got to feel it.
We are back with Last Call. Draft Dr. Phil has brought with him his dad, Phil Atoshin, a celebrated high school coach in Connecticut. Guys, I wanted to pick up where we left off. On the last drive where the Bears scored the go-ahead touchdown, the 30-some yard pass to Anthony Miller that looked like he bobbled it out of bounds, and Mitch Trubisky was hurrying up his offense to call a quick play. Well, they get a delay of game penalty because the coach was sending in a new personnel, and so he's not looking at what is going on in the field, that his quarterback is quickly trying to call a play, so that way that play wasn't challenged, the catch by Miller wasn't challenged. So it's another example of head coach Matt Nagy just being too focused as a play caller.
Great point.
And trying to learn how to play call as he's being the head coach of the Chicago Bears, it's not acceptable.
You make a great point. Now, on that play, the ref, you're right there, bro. I mean, that's fucking interference every time, no matter what. That DB rakes in there. I can't tell you what a great catch that was. If it was a catch, it wasn't. Maybe we didn't catch it. I'm just telling you that was interference either way. But to Aldo's point, and I think it's a great example of somebody who's not maniacally in the game to win. You're more worried about the plays. And I get it. But that's where you have to separate your brain from your menu. You have to know it in your head. Your quarterback got it there. Great point, Aldo. He's growing. Oh, shit. We might get a review here. Get up there. We got to run a play because that'll negate the review and we'll move on. And they could talk about that on Monday with Woody and Stephen A. and all them. Oh, they got away with one. But at the end of the day, the W is all that matters. And that's a showcase. Your coach is holding your young quarterback back. Great point. One in which I honestly would have forgotten to talk about. So bravo to you.
I have a question for Coach Atoshin. Mitch Trubisky was 29 out of 38 today for 338 yards. He threw for 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. I'd love for you to tell me what you saw mechanically from Mitch Trubisky in today's game.
Well, I think he's got tremendous talents. The one thing I'm impressed with is running ability outside and throwing the ball accurately. I thought that was pretty good. And then he threw that ball. He stopped and avoided a sack and came forward and threw the ball, and it was complete for a first down. So he's got that kind of ability. What I saw last week, and boy, they have improved on him on this week's. When he got back into the pocket this week, his foot wasn't exposed wide as right. It was last week. They corrected that fundamental thing that, you know, your shoulders should be perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, but your foot should be out just a little bit when you release that ball and in the direction that you're going to release the ball. You can't be opened up so wide then you throw the ball and then you don't have the follow through that you need and the velocity on the ball that you need. Your foot has got to be in front of your hip. Let's put it that way, in front of your shoulder, your back shoulder. His right hand would be on his left shoulder. Mm-hmm. So that's where that foot should be. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, but I was impressed with him today. There's no question about it.
Yeah,
only thing I pointed out was that run. When you know you're that close, I mean, when you're running, what's the first thing you should be looking for? As he started to go to the line of scrimmage and he went parallel, you should have looked at because they have 2 bars, one on each sideline. He should have looked at that, planted, and dove for the first down. That's the only thing. And you have to teach that.
Yeah.
You can't assume that anybody knows that. You work on a drill just like that. I've done that many times. You're running parallel. Plant your foot and throw your body into the first yard. It could be 1 yard. That's the difference. So everything is taught. And the other thing I want to say is this, and I don't think too many people do this, and I got this from my good friend, the guru, George DeLeon. He's with the
Baylor
right now, and he's a great football coach. I'm surprised he hasn't been a head coach because he's deserving of it because he's one heck of a football coach. But I always, you know, when you start running plays, you go to team after your individual workouts, you get the team, and I always started in the middle of the field like most young coaches when I started. And George said to me, "What are you doing in the middle of the field? Get on the goal line. That's where the game's won. Get on the goal line. Stuff in the 10. Try to go in. Put 12 guys on defense. Get that ball in and develop continuity with your line. They got to be tougher than it. Even if they're not tough, they're going to become tough. And that's what you got to do. Start from the 10-yard line when you start practicing going. Don't forget it because a lot of times you get, oh, it's too much time. We'll call it a day. Exactly. Start it there.
You look at this offensive line, and I gotta ask you, I know what I've said. You've watched my videos, I send them to you. When right. You watch this Bears offensive line, is it, in your opinion, fair to assess this young quarterback behind this kind of offensive line play?
Well, you know, if you take a look at Aikman when he was all pro for 5 years in a row, I mean, His offensive line didn't put any pressure on. Nobody can put any pressure on him. He's the greatest quarterback. He completed all his passes just about. And I'm thinking about poor Brady last week trying to duck people. And they said, the offense isn't there. Well, you know, it starts with the offensive line. You got to have pass protection. And sometimes they're not good enough to have pass protection. So you got to do something else. Whether you put another full, put the fullback in the game. You know, another lineman who becomes a fullback. Now, I'm not crazy about this. I don't mind having the shotgun, but I think anytime you get down on a goal line, you should never be in a shotgun. You should be under the center, because the one great play in football is a quarterback sneak, and you don't know where they're going to line up. You put three guys in the backfield, and they'll even it up, and there's a gap somewhere. That quarterback can go right into that gap and score. Mm-hmm. And I tell you the truth, this greatest play, Brady's proven that. How many times has it been? Fourth and one.
40-something.
And sneak it in there. You can't get from back here. It's different. The fullback is 4 yards away from the line of scrimmage if you're under the center.
He's trying to get on the board. It's
he's running 90 miles an hour going forward, as opposed to this guy getting the snap of the ball that's 4 yards away, and now he starts. So you're working on – that's how the split end today stopped the run to the left. There was a defensive end that disregarded the mesh. He went right for the on a short yardage situation and stopped the play. I don't remember the name of the kid, but it was number 32, Karen, but he didn't make anything because the guy on the other side, that's what happens when you have 4 yards and you're trying to hand the ball off with the mesh.
Exactly. It's too much for this offensive line to do. If you can't do the little things right, when you get under center, you can fire out mano y mano. And sometimes you have to have that. And one of the things that I captured, I got to shout out Ryan Badgley for getting this for me, because I heard it and I'm like, could somebody grab this audio? I'm going to play it real quick, Aldo, for our listeners.
Sure, absolutely.
Here we go. Oh, I have it on my headset, for God's sake. We'll do it again. Okay. Live radio. What do you know?
A penalty machine.
A penalty machine. Now, I watch him on tape. I know PFF loves this guy. He's an A-plus pass protector, according to PFF. But the tape never lies. He's a failure. And the critical moments in undisciplined football, this guy is hurting your young quarterback. Not only letting up sacks weekly, with lazy effort, but he's become a freaking punchline in every locker room in the NFL. I was talking to a former Bear. I won't say his name. He texted me. He's like, Charles Leno's softer than fucking chocolate pudding. That was his quote. That's his quote, and everybody knows it. But yeah, he's starting, and we're assessing, and that's what we're seeing. So you got to send a message. You got to do it, because it's become... He's a penalty machine, Troy Aikman, on national television. That's your franchise? That's your freaking franchise? This is the Chicago Bears. You want to talk about Hampton, OB, and all these guys saying things? Well, I'm watching tape, and this is what I have to say. It's got to be better. I've had fans. It's still not better? It's still not better? How is it not better, Phil? How is it not better? I thought that was you. It was me.
That was you. I had a feeling you thought it was me.
I did. I was like Greg Braggs. This guy's a ventriloquist. I wanted to get that mini rant in there because it was such a sticking point with me. Four guys that I really think should be next week benched. You ready? Leonard Floyd, benched. Get it. Sit him on the bench. Send the message to this guy that it ain't good enough, bro. Khalil Mack is a filthy animal. He's fucking hustling, playing, getting killed, triple team, double team, chop, whip, Eddie Goldman getting whipped, held, pushed in the back. He's getting destroyed as your nose guard. No one's doing nothing. And none of these other fucking guys are winning. Nick Williams is playing his ass off. And no one's winning on the other side. No one. So you got to send a message that it isn't okay. 99. So I got two guys at the same position, Aldo. Benched. No, 99 fucking cut. Get him out of the locker room. He's a cancer. He's a lazy. I would say it if he was on the show. You are a lazy, good for nothing. You got all that money. I'm jealous of you. You're stealing from the Bears and from the fans. Watch his effort this week. Watch his effort. If everybody and their brother didn't want to see the offensive breakdown, I would break down the defense and just focus on Aaron Lynch's plays. Because what he put out there today, I don't even know how you are looking in the mirror at night and okay with it. It's disgusting. Thanksgiving Day. You can't get up for that. You don't love football. The other guy is Charles Leno, as we said. Out. Benched. You're not going to cut him. You just paid this guy. He needs a message sent to everybody. Everybody, every Leno fan, every person needs to know you're not good enough. Because right there, Charles saying some of them are bitch calls. Some of them are bullshit. He's making excuses up, so he needs to be humbled. And the last guy that I really think needs to take a look in the mirror is the head coach. He needs to sit down, put the play calls away, and show us who you are as a head coach. I challenged him last week. Wait a second, Phil. They won today. Yeah, they did win today. Aldo made a great point. My father's making a great point. They're winning despite the talent that they have on the roster. How do you pass up the 49-yard field goal? This isn't hindsight. How do you do that? You're in a dome. You've told that kicker you don't have confidence in him. You told the team your points aren't valuable. That makes no sense, and I would not be on this show telling you differently if Pinero missed it. I would blame Pinero. He needs to get points on the board in a critical game. In a rivalry game, you got to do it. That was an error. What you said was an error. I saw so many intricate situational football errors on top of the whole game plan. Get this kid going quick game. No huddle. He feels great doing it. Get under center, as my dad say. I've said this for years now. He's a much better quarterback under center. Your center is fucking still throwing the top of the ball. The high snaps are continuing. Make it easy. As I said, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. And that's my mini rant.
There you go. I'd love to get Coach Atoshin's viewpoints on this. After the game in his press conference, Coach Matt Nagy said, a lot of players made a lot of plays, but today was Mitch's day. What do you think that sends a bad message to the rest of the team when you're putting so much focus on the quarterback and you're not giving more accolades to the rest of the guys on the team?
Not necessarily. Sometimes you need to do that to get your quarterback to get on the track. And there was a good showing today. And he's praising him. Mm-hmm. But I do want to make another comment about
Please.
This. He's a third-year head coach now?
Or is
he a second-year head coach? Mm-hmm. Well, I was a second-year head coach. I was still learning, and he's still learning, too. I don't think that you should be, let's just give him the rest of the year. He is going here, and
but,
he's...
But you were in the high
school. This is a critical situation. Mm-hmm. This show is a critical situation. It's getting to more and more people in Chicago and around the world. And you're hearing a guy that's loves so much for, has such a compassion and passion for football that he's expunging it towards everybody that loves this game and this team. And I feel the same way. I mean, if I'm going to root for a team, I want to give it all I got. And he's doing that. If I was coaching a team, I want to change everything that needs to be changed and help everybody that needs help. And maybe that guy's doing that. So let's just give him a little time. You won this game. See if he's listened to this program. See what he's listening to. Maybe his coaches are listening and jotting down a few things that need to be done.
No, they went into the eye. They ran tall. They did a bunch of things I was talking about last week. The first drive was all Etoshin, we said. Like, what the fuck? I even got two texts from Barfly. Phil, they're listening.
I got to tell you something. Phil pointed this out today, and I made him laugh. I said, the Lions had the ball.
And
In a critical moment, and the right guard opened up on the defensive end, and there was only one guy there, so both of them were blocking him, and the linebacker came through and sacked the quarterback. So I said, that was a bare mistake by the Lions.
Lions made a Bears offensive line mistake.
That's right.
In a
critical moment. So, football's...
So let me ask you this for the record, because I've gone... I'm sorry, Aldo, if you have another question.
No, please.
I want to double down on this because I've argued even with my buddy there, my brother from another, Greggy Sunshine. How are you an NFL coach, though, learning on the job? Is it always learning in your mind, or you're at the epitome of the highest of high levels? And I know the collective bargaining agreement has something to do with the lack of technique and solid football. Like, you're ruining your own this is a professional sport, and the high school kids are allowed to practice harder than the pros. That's an issue, something we need to talk about in the offseason. But in this case, you've been given what you wouldn't dream of doing. I know I would dream to coach the Bears. He's there. How is he continuously faltering on the job? I just don't have an excuse.
Here's the thing. How do you become a head coach? The interview. How do you get interviewed? It's the guy you're working for. The guy. It's politics.
Reed.
He coached Reed. I mean, he gets the chance. He gets the chance. So they hire him. But don't tell me has the knowledge of all the undergoing as a head coach. There's so many things that go on as a head coach, and he's finding that out, calling plays. And it's maybe he ought to give that to somebody else.
Yeah, that's what we
said. And become the administrator on the sideline, because exactly, there are some important things going on. And one of the things he could be looking at is not so much the plays as the blocking up front. And then he could turn around and tell his coach, his offensive line coach, that get your ass in that room. After this ball game, you and I are going to have a chat. That's what that's what learning's all about.
Yeah.
You have to. Sometimes you have to yell at people, and then you apologize later.
You have tough love.
Yeah, that's right. You got to do it.
You got to do it.
But I tell you right now, I don't want to put the guy on the cross. I don't, that's what I don't want to do. I want the people to understand that guy is... He's got a passion for football. He loves football just like we do.
And ooh, Matt Nagy?
Oh, yes.
Or me? I thought you were talking about me.
No, Nagy. He's got every head coach in the league is going through the same thing. They got to deal with everybody. Their fans, the press, the radio, the TV, all these announcers, all these guys on ESPN and the NFL Network with all these nitwits that are talking like they know everything. And I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of truth to that, too. I'm going to tell you that. So they got a lot to deal with, but I don't want to throw him under the bus. He's going to become a great coach. And this guy, this team,
Phil's on six.
This team that Phil is talking about, the guys that he wants to throw under the bus, they're listening. There's nothing like peer pressure. I saw guys that they rose up and became great players. You know how you got to do it? So everybody sees it. One-on-one. Put them in the shoots. One-on-one, let everybody see he can't block that guy. Let him see it right in front of his peers. He can't block. He can't tackle. He can't cover. Get them working their ass off to become better. They'll be in the room watching film and everything else. Look at this guy, Cam Newton, great quarterback, MVP. All right? He don't want to study film. That kid took his job away. Watch him. He's playing for another team next year. He shouldn't be the quarterback for the Panthers. I'm telling you, this game of football is determined by determination, pride, and the love of the game. There's some great football players that are not even playing this game, wish they could be in that game. and some guy like that 99 is doing that kind of crap. And the 72, which got offsides about 9,000 times. I mean, what the hell is that? Come on, you got to learn. You just got to put a little pressure on yourself.
Yeah, me fired up. Yeah.
I hear you.
I'm ready.
Coach, on our Bears 100 Proof show, we do a segment called Bear Up, Bear Down, and that's where Shane and Phil pick a player that they thought performed well. We give them the Bear Up designation, and a player who did not perform well, that's the Bear Down designation. So I'm going to ask you to give us a Bear Down player, a player today who you were dissatisfied with, and also give us a player Bear Up that you thought had a really good game.
Well, I thought 99 was the worst. It was so evident.
Bear down.
And the offense, I have to say, there are two people. Trubisky Trubisky and the running back number 32.
David is Montgomery.
Montgomery. Because yeah. I don't watch the Bears all the time.
Sure.
I watch them with him when I'm with him.
Right.
I'm watching. I don't even get the channels. I don't have the NFL network with all the games.
Sunday Ticket.
Yeah, the ticket. But anyway, those two people I would give it.
So Bear Up, Trubisky, and Montgomery. Bear Down, Aaron Lunch. Aaron out to lunch.
And Phil, I'm also going to save yours for Monday night.
Yes.
I've got another question that came through the chat room. This from Zach Sullivan for Coach Atoshin.
I love Sullivan was the guy who carved the Bears barroom clock out of wood.
Right?
So this is coming from him.
Yeah, this question is from
me?
Him.
To me? This question is to me?
Yes, it is. To you.
All right, good.
He wants to know what you think of the fact that Coach Matt Nagy withheld his starters throughout the preseason, only giving them one or two series during the four-game preseasons. What are your thoughts on that? You think that's a good move in today's NFL, or you think it's a bad move?
Well, I wasn't aware of that until Phil mentioned it to me that he did that. No, I think you've got to get as much playing time as possible. And I think, you know, the thing is, it's conditioning. Whether you do it with pads, you have a certain amount of time you can get these guys in shape. And they got to be in shape. And they got to be in hitting shape. So if we have 5 minutes, then get your coaches all involved in the hitting. Mm-hmm. But they've got to do it. They've got to do it. There's no substitute. You can't expect them to tackle. What you're going to do is get hand tackling. That's what you're going to get. You've got to go through the – I see some things, and maybe the whole league should do this. We should go back to taking the mask off, and we'll see. They won't hit with their heads anymore because they'll break their faces. But shoulder tackling might be the answer. You know, I saw the Seattle Seahawks, I think, that coach there.
Yeah, they went into some new techniques.
They went through new techniques they got from Australia in rugby and in tackling. Mm-hmm. And the shoulder tackling.
You also said that if the greatest ever to play is playing halves of football, Tom Brady, and the Bears are in their year two with this head coach, their offensive line and everybody sitting on the bench the whole preseason, it just sends the wrong message.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so too. And I think I don't know what they're going to do with the preseason. They want to make an additional game or two games or 18-game schedule or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous. They can't do that. You're going to have some more injuries, and you don't want to lose the interest in the game. And I think that's a terrible thing. Football is all over the place. We're high school football, we're college football, we're pro football. We have the greatest – pro football is the greatest national pastime right now. Just watching these games, people are crazy about the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it's gambling, too. You know what I mean? Let's face it.
Yep.
It's that. So you don't want to diminish that value. There's tremendous value in this game, and we ought to be helping it. I know tackling is one of the biggest things we got. We don't want to get guys hurt with concussions and limbs breaking and stuff like that. But I don't know. Maybe the cushion on the head. You know, we used to see them practice with cushions on their head at UConn and places. Right. Maryland, I've seen them do it. I don't know if that you have to use that in practice, I guess.
Well,
but
they've come up with technology that has proven in regards to science that the impact is reduced like 85%. But yet the NFL is still trying to figure it out. So it always comes down to the bottom dollar with these guys.
especially with the NFL. Aldo, Zach, anybody listening, whether live now or your first time or the podcast version, you know, this game comes on a Thanksgiving. But I'll say this, the CBA and the rules of practice time. We used to do double sessions. We used to have 6 hours of football, 3 hours of live. We were hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? There wasn't many injuries like this. So your body, what did we call it? Remember Matt Nagy kept saying, they got to get calloused.
Right.
They got to get calloused up. And then the next year, there was no calloused because you didn't play them at all. So your BU philosophy then becomes a hypocritical stake. And it, under the umbrella of the NFL and their rules, you lost valuable reps to what my father's speaking of. So it's evident. One other point, I was watching with my sons. My sons are so in love with football. They really are. It's amazing. But we're watching the Disney Plus app, and they have Invincible, the Vince Papale story. I brought it up the other day.
Right.
And through that story, Vince is trying out to make the team and yada, yada, yada. But in the movie, they're rewinding you back to the early 80s, rather. Week six of the preseason, we were going, week six of the preseason. They're playing six games in preseason. And the fans were upset with Vermeil because he hadn't won a game in the preseason yet. So think about where we've gone from there. It's just, it needs to be rethought. We got to get some of these billionaire guys that, you know, are getting massages and shit, and they have their threats to fire coaches and all the flamboyancy. We got to get them out of the room and get the football people in there to really recognize the importance of teaching fundamentals and having the appropriate amount of physical contact without the fear of injury. We could still go live and play to the whistle. But those offensive linemen like James Daniels, we could see. He needed to be calloused up. He needed to be ready. I mean, you played center, All-American center here. You could talk about how hard that position is, not only to play in the high school level, but think about all the communication, all of the understanding of the fronts, all the understanding of where the play is going to go and your assignments, and at the same time be quick enough, physical enough, and mentally prepared to do it. It could be impossible, and you could ruin somebody's career if you put them out when they're not ready.
We are at that mark now where I promised Stephanie Otoshin that I would release you guys so that you could enjoy Thanksgiving Day. But before I do that, I want to keep you another 5 minutes because I want to read to you, Coach Otoshin, some of the comments made about you in the chat room. Nick Rumps says, I see where Phil gets his passion. 85 Bear With Me says, I love Phil's dad. Duke Martin says, I thought I loved Phil, but his pops is the fucking truth. Ryan Cox says, this is fantastic when you were talking about defensive backs and so forth. Ryan and a number of other people were fascinated by your coaching on that. T Mittens 12 says, nothing like coaching high school sports. Tremendous blessing and opportunity. Cliff Wilson said, I would like to hear Phil's dad a little more often. I like this guy. And then Drained Bean said, Phil's dad needs his own show on the Bears Ballroom Radio Network. So we've got to talk, sir.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity of talking to you and meeting you, Aldo. It was a great pleasure. I know I get a little carried away sometimes.
Oh, we love the passion.
I do. I met one of my players today, probably the best player I've ever coached, this kid named Greg Meyerson. And he's 53 years old.
He's a millionaire. He created this lobster. What do they call it?
A sinker. You saw him. He's caught the biggest striped bass in the world.
Look him up. Okay.
Greg Meyerson, the biggest striped bass in the world.
The history of the
world.
And
he lost 80 pounds. He's down to about 247.
Looks
he says,
great.
I think I'm going up to New England and try out a tight end. I feel like I'm in the greatest shape of my life. I got my hands. I can catch anything. So I'm laughing. I'm hysterical laughing. I said, you know what?
He
is one tough dude. He's a tough dude, I'll tell you right now. So I'm real proud about what we have accomplished, my Etoshin family. You can't do it without your wife. She was put in all that sacrificing, and his wife is going through that now. She loves him, and she's going to do whatever it takes to make him successful. And I feel privileged, and I want to thank God for everything. I mean, I feel so blessed, and every one of us should feel that way. Thanksgiving Day.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
There you go. You can't say it any better than that.
Perfectly said. And as always, we always close the show with Draft Dr. Phil's words. Take it away. And I want to, but before you do, I want to thank the hundreds of people who tuned in live to listen to this very special edition of Last Call. It will be up on podcast later tonight for all of you to share with your friends. Phil, it's all yours.
Well, first, I want to thank you, Aldo. God bless you and your family on Thanksgiving. I want to thank my dad. I just kind of threw it in his lap. I knew that I couldn't tell him before, like, he came here, that, hey, you're going to do the live show. Last night, I told him. I'm like, tomorrow, you're going to be live with me. I am? All right. Because I knew he would, like, think too much at his house. What am I going to do? What's going to happen? So I just thank you. You came on here and brought it. I'm so proud to be your son, to be a part of the family. And I saw my brother today for the first time in, I don't know, 8 years. And that was really nice to see him and have a nice conversation with him. And it's just been an amazing day.
It's tough though
with, you know, the Lyman Hall history, and you get almost disappointed in that. Even though I was rooting for my nephew over there at Sheehan, he's a great back, Terrence Bogan, shout out to him. I think this kid belongs at Syracuse or UConn. I mean, he's that talented. Dartmouth wants, all the Ivy schools want the kid, but I think he could play 1A easily. He's unbelievable kid. But anyway, I want to thank my wife and everybody in the bar room. My wife is just, without her, like you said, Dad, I can't be doing this stuff and putting the time and effort and energy to try to bring what I felt like it was my responsibility. I don't know. I had a conversation with God. It sounds dumb, but I thanked Aldo for Second Chance. I thank Shane Marceau and his family, and I really believe that my presence needed to be heard on this football team to get them to where they want to go. And that's what I believe. I could be totally off my rocker, but I don't give a crap because I love it so much. I love the passion of this game, and I love the Bears. I just want to see them to get to that point again like they were in 85, respected, admired, and appreciated. Thanksgiving Day. You have something else?
Yeah, I have something to say, too.
Go ahead.
I've gone this route, and I listened to people talk about who the greatest back was, and it was no other than Walter Payton. I don't give a shit what all these guys say. He's the greatest running back I've ever seen. The blocking, the tackling, he's just a tremendous back, and I don't want it. I don't care about records. That guy is the greatest. Never forget that. I'm not a Bear fan, but he's the greatest. I evaluate people. He's the greatest.
Awesome. That's a perfect way to...
That's the best way to end on Thanksgiving.
I hear you.
Barflies. I appreciate all of you around the world. The Tape Never Lies came out late last night, Aldo.
That's
and
right.
It's already got like 7,000-8,000 views.
Yeah, it's got my view too. It was outstanding work again.
I was trying to quickly do it, so there was a couple edits I wish I could have cut a little closer, but that's just me being a critic of myself.
The perfectionist that you always are.
We did it. And we're going to be back Monday night.
Monday
on
night.
100 proof. Monday night. The Smartest Man. We're going to have some guests. I want to say real quick, Mark Grody from The Score is going to join us. And I think we also are going to have a pre-interview with Sage Rosenfeld.
That's right. Sage Rosenfeld will join us. Phil and I will interview him a couple of hours before the live show, and we'll tack it into the show. He sent out a tweet where he was very critical of the coaching staff, and so we want to get him to on the record here at Bears Barroom sharing more of his thoughts on the Bears coaching staff.
Lastly, a win is a win is a win, and it's hard to win in the NFL.
So today, everybody, I hope you can raise a glass. The Chicago Bears, they did it. It's going to be Victory Friday. No better Friday feeling on Black Friday. I call it Racial Equality Friday. We're all spending the same goddamn money. So, God bless you all and bear down.
Aldo, thank you so much for letting us know how other people reacted to this thing, because it makes me feel good.
Oh.
And I know many of players, former players, listen to this show.
Yeah, they listen.
So they're going to hear the old coach. Maybe they'll come to next year's Thanksgiving Day.
That'd be awesome.
I'll have to get Aldo out here for next year's Thanksgiving.
I'm ready. Just let me know. I'm on a plane.
It'll be at Philatotion Fields.
Nice.
That'll be great. Next year's Thanksgiving
nice.
Day.
Nice. Listen, gentlemen, I'm going to let
all
you
right,
go to
brother,
your families. I'm honored, Coach Atoshin, that you were on, and we hope to have you again on as soon as possible. Like somebody said, a couple of people actually said in the chat room, you've got a show here on the network if you want one.
We could do a segment with you.
Yeah, that's we'll do
coaching
a segment.
Tips.
There you go.
Something. I'll get them again.
Awesome.
Okay, Aldo.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Aldo. Love you, brother.
Love you, too.
Bye now.